You're listening to Casual Talk Radio, where common sense is still the norm. Whether you're a new or longtime listener, we appreciate you joining us today. Visit us at casualtalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Do you describe yourself as colorblind? Do you say that you don't see color? Do you say that there's only one race? Do you use this terminology? Have you used that terminology? Is that the way you feel? Honestly, how you feel? I'm going to make some statements, and they're going to bother some people. But I think it's important because I read an article earlier and was talking about this, and I don't agree. I emphatically disagree with what was said. And just to disclaim once again, I am a Black American, but I make these because I think some of the statements are, I think what we've done is gone too far extreme on what people feel and how people should feel about certain words. That's why going to be my topic here, casualtalkradio.net. My name is Leister, I'm your host, and welcome, or welcome back. And if you're okay being a little bit offended, you're in the right place. If you're okay being a little bit bothered, you're in the right place. If you're okay being critically challenged about your beliefs or your steady state, you're in the right place. If you don't mind somebody giving a contrary opinion to something you've been told, probably as a child, you're in the right place. Because all I'm doing is sharing a perspective. The perspective may or may not be your perspective, and I understand that. I want to just level set, though. What I'm about to talk about is going to piss some people off. I accept that because I'm a straight shooter in the world of sensitivity. It is what it is. The statement, there's only one race, right? We're all human. Okay, or I don't see color, I'm colorblind. Whatever variant of this, you've probably heard it at least once. You've probably said it at least once at some point. But what does all that mean? Well, let's step back a little bit. This comes in response to somebody being challenged as racist. It's a response to somebody being confronted as a racist. They will say that they're colorblind. They will say that they don't see color. They will say that there's only one race. They will say that we're all the same. The statement, we're all the same, is offensive to me because we're not all the same. Saying that we're all the same is to say that what makes us different, what makes us unique, is irrelevant. That's why it's offensive to me, because what makes us unique is what should be embraced, which contradicts the idea of one race, because each race that we have, and yes, we have multiple of them, have their own nuances and their own idiosyncrasies that we should embrace, we should welcome, we should celebrate, and we should study. Most important, I looked at various news articles that talked about, you know, the Maui situation, the stuff that's happening in Haiti, the stuff that's happening in Russia and Ukraine, across the globe. All these different events that we don't struggle with here. We have our climate situations, but nowhere near what's happening overseas. We don't have wars being waged on our country's shores here in the United States. We have domestic problems. We have white-collar problems. We have rich people problems. We have issues here that frankly shouldn't be problems, you know, things like homelessness. But if you look at the stats, if you really drill into the numbers, it's going to tell you a story. It's going to tell you that by and large, for decades, women have had a harder time getting ahead in the workplace. The numbers will tell you this. But if you dig deeper than that, they're going to tell you that women of certain races have it even harder above and beyond. So they become statistical anomalies. It is so extreme of an anomaly, this group that I refer to. When you say you don't see color, let's assume that we're referring to Latin American, Mexican, Hispanic. Let's assume that you're referring to Asian Americans. Let's assume you're referring to Black Americans. It doesn't matter. When you say, I don't see color, it means you're not looking at those numbers. You're only looking at possibly gender. Well, then, recently the conversation was spinning around non-binary and the idea that there's apparently more than two genders. And apparently they want the governments to acknowledge this narrative that that gender shouldn't matter because we're all people. What I want people to think about, and attributions were made to the Bible and biblical context around the human race that was created, and it was a single human race and everything else. But what it also talks about is that there's different tribes, there's different nations, there's different languages, different colors, different physical attributes, different cultural aspects. And later, simply by virtue of who we are as a species, comes the different races that we come to know. Genders were always a thing. So if you look at it from a biblical context, there's no way that you could ignore variations in color, variations in gender, variations in physical traits, variations in quality, variations in what we bring as individuals. This uniqueness, this individuality is what certain people don't like. Why don't they like it? Because it makes them feel inferior. When you see the women who have transgender people coming into women's races and smoking them because physically men are stronger. Men by our biological, men are stronger. We are faster. This is what it is. That's just, it's nature. So they're essentially cheating because they're inferior. So they lobby that they should have a fair shot and they should be treated equal. You can't be treated equal because you're not equal. No male can have a period. I actually heard somebody, a female celebrity, say that. No male can have a period, but we see stories of them trying to get surgery to actually emulate this scenario. There's stories upon stories coming out that really piss me off about men trying to breastfeed and men trying to get pregnant and utero implants and all these things. This should frighten people. Because what you're trying to do is blur the lines of gender. So you take a blurring of the lines of gender, you take a blurring of the lines of race and color, and you turn it into this amalgamation of just generic people is what they're trying to push to. This should offend people. It should offend whatever your slice is. If you're a female, that should offend you. If you're a male, that should offend you. If you're white, it should offend you. If you're black, it should offend you. I could go on and on. The point is, it should offend you, because what it does is it takes away what makes you an individual contributor to society, because they don't want you to be an individual contributor to society, because other people who are inferior don't want to be outshined by you. And they were never taught by their parents. They were never taught by their schools. And they were never taught by just getting beat up in the streets about how to survive. This is why everything's being dumbed down. Back to the statement now, you don't see color. If you support the idea that you don't see color, it means you don't recognize, you don't accept, you don't tolerate, there's that word, tolerance, you don't tolerate somebody who's different than you. And so for you, you dumb it down so that you don't appreciate the individual traits of each person and their idiosyncrasies. Now I'm going to flip the script on you right now. Because you heard what I just said. I'm going to flip it around. I also don't support the idea that we should cater to individual races, creed, color, him nor her either, in lieu of the rights of everybody else. It's a balance. We seem to only be able to accept the extreme left or the extreme right. It's everybody's just got to be non-binary and you have to accept gay cakes and everything else. You have to accept that because it is what it is, irrespective of your religious beliefs. Or it's this over here and we're all just generic people who don't have any individual freedoms, attributes, or benefits that we should have and express. It has to be one of these two extremes. It can't simply be, I as a person recognize there's these two genders in place in my face. These genders may have sexual preferences that are different than what I think or I have. If you're a gay male, great. If you're a lesbian female, great. If you're a bisexual couple, great, right? We accept their sexual preference as what it is. Why does it have to be that a male can't be gay, that a female can't be lesbian, that a couple can't be bisexual? Why is there intolerance of those tastes? The intolerance of those tastes created a new extreme, which is, no, you are forced to accept this person being gay or this person being lesbian, which shouldn't be necessary, shouldn't have to, It should simply be that we accept that your sexual preference is what it is. The reason it got to the extreme is because those that are pushing the extreme don't accept the term sexual preference. They pervert it into, no, this is genetically, and now scientists are changing rules. They're changing written black letter in books from decades ago and saying they got it wrong. They didn't get it wrong. They're being pressured to go against their morals and ethics to appease the minority group. That appeasing minority group is what I'm adamantly against. I don't support it. When I say minority, minority doesn't just mean black. Minority doesn't just mean women. Minority doesn't mean anything. It's minority in whatever the conversation goes to. If we're talking about the workplace, minorities are anybody who is not white American, just statistically. But that varies state to state. In Washington State, Asian Americans dominate most of the workspaces. Okay, that means everybody else is a minority in those groups. When we talk about sexual preference then, sexual preference is your sexual preference is necessarily different than mine, and I accept that as long as it's not shoved all over the place. I actually just saw an article online, and this person was complaining about a mainstream game that's been out for decades because it didn't have any lesbian representation except for one character, and this one character just happened to be overly affectionate to other females, and this person was described as a creeper and a predator. They're not a creeper. They're not a predator. They just happen to be overly affectionate to females, just like with certain flamboyant gay men who are just, they like hugging other men. That's just what it is. They're not predators. Again, it turns into another extreme. It's what it is. When we talk about rights, I've seen articles talking about from white males, mostly males, talking about how they feel oppressed now. They feel like their voice is being suppressed. They feel like they're not getting attention. They feel like every focus is going to, in this case, Black Americans or to Mexican Americans. You talk about the border situation. They're not wrong. The focus is distorted. The focus is distorted going back to something that Dr. Umar Johnson alluded to that he got attacked for, but he was telling the truth, which is when the government started creating laws to try to accommodate everybody. Again, talks about this amalgamation in a generic instead of specific. When he said, I want to know, tell me what the government has done to help Black Americans. And they keep talking about Civil Rights Act and all these. All of these have been distorted. They've been dumbed down. They've been watered down. They have to cater to women. They have to cater to children. They have to cater to lesbians. They have to cater to bi. They have to cater to Mexicans. So now it's no longer specific to any one. The government does that because they don't want to feel like they're catering to any one group. I don't want them to cater any one group. The wrong answer is to then create this blended rule that dumbs it down for everybody and nobody wins. Because again, we have the crisis at the border. The crisis at the border is because we don't have an effective way to screen people coming in. We don't have an effective way to screen people coming in because we're too afraid to hurt people's feelings in what's necessary. I'm sorry, there's a certain classification of people who meet certain qualifications who are likely to bomb a plane. That's just what it is. We're afraid to offend people, and so we don't enforce this. When we look at gun violence, the argument is, if you look at who's doing mass shootings, I'm talking mass shootings, not murder-suicide shootings, mass shootings, by and large, statistically, it skews towards what? White men. That's what it is. The rebuttal is, yeah, but black men are killing other black men in the streets. They're not wrong, but we're talking about mass shootings right now. So in terms of mass shootings, the numbers don't lie. Let's deal with one problem at a time. Do we tackle this one over here where the vast majority of people are getting killed, or do we tackle this one over here, which is kind of an internal issue? It's still an issue, but it's not like they're going off shooting up schools and all this crazy nonsense. When we talk about police brutality and the whole defund the police movement and everything else that was born of an anger over police departments, and I do that in plural, police departments who have sketchy, shady people working there, you get that lady who basically had a train run on her by other cops, and then other police departments, this is San Diego, talks about it and says, yes, that happens. Those kind of girls get in there, and that's what they do. They're whores. They're whores. So, okay, we know there's corruption in the police departments, plural, so we know that happens. They don't want to address it. Why? Because they need the police departments to ultimately handle crime at a basic level. But it got me thinking, are we focusing, as far as police, on the wrong topical matter? Because we have a law for everything, right? Everything's essentially against the law. At some point, you're going to find some law about you breaking the law, about doing something benign. It's just they don't enforce every single one of them. But yet you have this girl who has a train run on her by a bunch of other cops, and allegedly some of this happened in the workplace, and she gets off with a slap on the wrist. Okay, so what's really the justice system? The blue wall is truly a real thing. They don't see color by default. They're forced to see color when they get into the work, and then they're confronted with situations where they're encountering criminals. I'm talking outside of the force, criminals who happen to be black or Mexican or whatever, and then they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to handle it because they were trained. It's ingrained in them to treat it as a blue wall against everybody else. My summary, and the reason I go on that rant ever slightly, is because I want people to be thinking about the statement, you don't see color. There's only one race. Be thinking about the domino effect that that causes. Be thinking about the bigger picture, what that means. What it means is, at the end of the day, you don't really care about the nuances of what make all of us individually valuable to society, irrespective of things that we might do. So if somebody goes and they rob a store because they're starving on the street, are you considering them a criminal? They're still a criminal. Are you considering that they rob the store because they're hungry? In your mind, you might look at their race and make a biased determination. You're perfectly entitled to do that. But if you look at it as crime is crime, you're one of those that says you don't see color and crime is crime. I would argue society can't survive with that kind of mentality, because we need people to make everything go around. But if you look at the root cause of why certain crimes happen and why certain races are predisposed to criminal behaviors, you'll start to see a pattern. There are three main things, it's actually increasing now, but three main things largely driving what we see. And this is assuming that you do see color. There's three main things largely driving this. Drugs, obviously, right? Alcohol, obviously, right? And relationships. Well, that third one's kind of interesting. You can't really do much about it. But here's what affects relationships. What affects relationships, there's a byproduct. Social media is a byproduct of this. Money is a byproduct of this, which has a byproduct of stress and strain. The workspace relationships, they are, relationships is a generic that covers a lot of ground. But all of these other things affect relationships. We, society, when I say we, don't want to solve all of the other root causes to the things I just broke down. We don't want to solve the drug crisis that we know is there. We don't want to solve the alcohol crisis. And yes, there's an alcohol crisis, because if you think about it, look at how many people, they just have to resort to drinking. They can't seem to stop themselves. You might say, it's not a problem drinking beer. Yeah, it starts there. And then you go to something else, and then it gets worse, and then something else happens. I prefer, as an opinion, that people stay largely clean, because we know what it does to the body. And of course, alcohol seems to age people well beyond their time. I can count multiple situations. Mary Wells is a great example, where you look at him, it's like, how could this person have aged so quickly? And it just happens to be that, no, they were drinking. They got in it. They couldn't get out of it. Bobby Brown, they were drinking. They couldn't get out of it. And then they're aged well beyond their years. I would rather see people not do that, but I know that it's what it is. Then relationships and social media and the disconnect. People don't want to connect face-to-face, voice-to-voice anymore like they might have used to. Nobody wants to do that at that level. It's different if you're busy, right? You're working, and so you're focused on your job, your J-O-B, you know, 8 hours a day, your nose to the grind, that's different. I'm talking about people who would rather be on Twitter, on Facebook, people who are out there flipping on their phone while walking the dog, people who they can't even acknowledge, they're not even paying attention where they walk because they're flipping on the phone. Those are the people I'm talking about. People, when they're trying to date somebody, are more worried about text messages. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people who are truly busy. I'm talking about the people who can't seem to decouple themselves from the phone. when you're so embedded in the foam, it takes away the emotional aspect. Our bodies, we crave, all of our senses crave attention. If you give only one or two of your senses the attention that they crave, that's what's driving our young people to suicides. That's what's driving society to basically be nervous and sketchy and questionable of one another. That's what's driving us to not trust by default. That's what's causing us to say that this group of people over here has got to be doing something, because the media is telling you this and you're too busy listening to it because you listen to your phone like an Android. No pun intended. That's what's happening. The so-called color blindness, the so-called one human race, that comes from you not welcoming the diversity that's out there without compromising the facts about what you see. The facts about what you see, crime is a given. Alcohol abuse is a given. Drug abuse is a given. Relationship problems are a given. These affect everybody. They don't have anything to do with race, but the way that we respond is unique. Different races handle it differently. Certain races go one way with it. Certain races go another way with it. You'll see white families talk about how they find it shocking to think about kids getting beat with extension cords and everything else, which is common in black families. You'll hear about Hispanic families who don't want their daughters dating outside of the race. You'll hear Asian families badmouth black people just because that's the way that they were raised. On and on and on. Well, that means each one of us has our nuances. You can choose to say, I don't accept the way that they behave. But if you make that generic statement for all of them, that means you're putting yourself in a bubble. You're not accepting what is right in front of your face so that you can learn from it and learn why it happens. There may be a logical reason why, or there may not be. But if you ignore it and just make it generic and say we're all the same, all you're going to do is cause contention. That contention is what triggers the very animosity that is spinning around society right now that's causing people to basically run from the problem and cause statements like this to get thrown. I don't see color anymore because we're all the same. We are not all the same. I am no same than anybody else. Nobody's same as me. It's not possible. Doing so is a disservice to the value I individually bring. Doing so would cause me to be ignorant of somebody else's value, and I refuse to do that. And I challenge you as a call to action to really consider other people's individual values and whether or not your individual value is being suppressed in favor of a generic view, and that's being pressed upon you by the media or social media, and really think about how do you feel about it? Do you honestly, are you okay with somebody suppressing your individual contributions to the bigger picture? And some of those may be specific to your race. Some of them may be specific to your gender. Some of them may be specific to simply you as an individual. Why would you want that to be suppressed? Why would you not want that to be standing out in a crowd? We would never have accepted this back in the 60s and the 70s. We can talk about the negatives of the 60s and the 70s, but the point is, at least back then, there was some desire to be welcomed and embraced for who we are. There was a female spirit for sure. Women's rights movements were all over the place. Did they get where they wanted to go? Not all the way. They still got work to do. But at least they were trying. It's the effort that I see lacking. There's no desire to be proud of it. To be proud of, if you're female, be proud of the fact you're female. If you're lesbian, be proud of the fact you're lesbian. If you're male and you're not gay, be proud of that. If you're black, be proud of that. If you're white, be proud of it. And it doesn't matter what some other race or some other gender is doing with their business. You have your individual contributions. Focus on those. They've got their stuff going on. Appreciate it as long as it's not affecting you and as long as it's not a criminal behavior. And if it is a criminal behavior, try to understand it. You don't have to agree with it. I said try to understand it. Because to understand it is how we identify the root cause of where it's coming from. I think you're going to find, if you do what I'm describing, and you don't have to, but if you do, I think you're going to find the vast majority of all of this flux and flotsam that's happening around you that you're sensing, that your senses are telling you, that you might have been oblivious to previous, is all coming from the United States government and social media, those two, and to a lesser degree, our school system. But I would argue it's the United States government first, Social Security second, big two. The United States government promotes that dissension. Don't let their messaging about unity fool you. They don't want us to be united as who we are, one nation under God, say. They don't want us to do that. What they want us to do is to all of us must do what they say. That's not unity. That's groupthink. That's what they want, though. Social media wants to promote narratives, and they want to sell you that something must be the case. So when you see them tell you about one of the presidential candidates allegedly being against abortion, and that same candidate comes out and says, I just think it's the state's job to enforce it, which if you read all of our different stuff, because again, this goes to where the school system failed. If you read all of our textbooks about how the government's supposed to work, you realize that that candidate is correct. It always should have been a state-level issue. And you would have the right to go to a state that supports your values. People are afraid. They don't want to uproot. I've talked to people. Well, my parents are here. I like the job. I like the whatever. That means you're afraid. You can be afraid, but that's not the candidate's fault. Putting the power back in the states is how it really should be. That lets the state, that lets us tell, you know, really what's the support of the country. Where are the people going? Are the people all flooding to California then? If every state can call the shots and the feds are out of the business, are everybody cramming to California? Okay, now the people have spoken. That's clearly what they want. But if we start seeing a vast majority of people flooding out of California and other states that are contrary to California, what does that tell us? It tells us that California was wrong all along. You could take California and you could fill in Nevada, you could fill in Oregon, Washington State, Colorado, it doesn't matter. The point is, putting everything in these specific situations in the hands of the states lets us understand what really is going on in the country instead of the groupthink that the federal government currently wants you to do. That groupthink is why there's such an increased push to dumb down individual freedoms, individual liberties, individual voices. They don't want you to stand out. Just like they don't want our cars to stand out. Just like they don't want our houses to stand out. They don't want our lawns to stand out. They want everybody to be the same, just like Kamazots. Shout out if you get the reference. That's what I see. So, in summary, if you believe there's one human race, you're right. If you think that only one race matters, I would emphatically disagree with you. If you say you don't see color, I would question why that is. Is there a reason that you choose not to see that color that is clearly and apparent right in front of you? And if it's that you chose to ignore the nuances of those different races, I would say, shame on you. You don't have to accept and say it's good, but you should at least acknowledge them for what they are and do more to try to learn why they are what they are. The reason that we don't want to do that is because it's perceived as a threat. All of it's perceived as a threat because the government has pitted us all against each other. And that's a Chewbacca. It's deflecting against the real problem. The real problem is the economy. We all suffer when the economy sucks, as it has sucked. Anybody who swears the economy is good, they're lying to themselves. Economy's not good. It's in a bad position. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've experienced it. It's worse in certain places than others, but it's bad. And all because we've pushed towards things we're not ready for. We can try to force change as long as we take the time to do it right. And to do it correctly means you have to understand its impacts on races of all types, not just yours, and not just the ones you, quote, see. All races have to be represented. Even if you don't like it, you got to acknowledge those people. They are not in the same situation you are. So trying to force something that's putting an undue burden on them, all that does is have a downstream impact on you. Because if you increase homelessness, all because it makes you feel good about not having gas pumped in a car, think about who that affects. It affects the lower classes. Think about who largely, statistically, comprises the lower classes. Think it through. Think about our education system and think about what it means not to teach people about our history as a country. Think it through. Do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying, think it through before you do what it is that you do and consider whether your vision is tainted. The term rose-colored glasses has never been more apt. But there are certain races where, despite the fact that they're rose-colored glasses, it's clear and apparent they don't look like you and don't act like you and don't behave like you, and you should be okay with that. If you're not, consider why you're not. That's all I ask. Think about it.